me to Ephesians chapter 6 for just a few moments. Ephesians chapter 6. And I know normally on Mother's Day we like to acknowledge the mothers here at our church, and we usually honor them by giving them a rose. And we're just unable to do that for this particular time that we're going through now with the pandemic and all. So we do look forward to gathering together as a church body and look forward to seeing you. I don't know if you've watched this television show before. Probably have. It's called Dirty Jobs. And I think Mike Rowe hosts the show. And it's all over. He goes all over the country doing these dirty job sites. He spends one episode perhaps maybe cleaning pig pens or scrubbing sewage lines or feeding ostriches, all kinds of strange things and daring things too, even from standing atop a huge suspension bridge to replace light bulbs and many other dirty jobs that are just dirty as well as frightening sometimes what he does. And I know Kish and I, we usually enjoy watching the show, but, you know, in all the times that we've watched the show, it occurs to me that Mike Rowe never spent a day in the life of a mom. And maybe, I don't know if he has, perhaps he doesn't have the courage or even maybe the stomach to for what at times can be the dirtiest job of all. And so on this Mother's Day, I'd like to share some things that gives a mother honor. And as we do, we can perhaps maybe see some things that we can learn from her as well. And in this message, I want to bring some truths out, some biblical principles out to show how a mother's honor is actually a mirror of the Almighty's love to us. And what serious responsibilities come in the way of a privileged Christian mother who carries on with those. You know, Isaiah the prophet spoke wisely when he said in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13, it says, "When as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you." And how important it is as a Christian mother who has personally tasted God's redemptive love in her life and is able to teach her children from their young age on upwards all about the goodness of God's character. So that even those little tiny ones are able to learn and trust Him, our Heavenly Father, to solve their problems. Mother's Day is a day designed to give formally our mothers extra honor. And this can take place in the form of a card or flowers or breakfast in bed or maybe a special dinner. But Mother's Day is a good time to remember your mother and to thank her for her selfless love. All the selfless love she does behind the scenes, and to show that we appreciate her because she's always there when you and I needed it. Because a lot of times what happens is in today's society, sometimes the role of a mother isn't quite as esteemed as it should be. A mother perhaps maybe who chooses to focus on raising her children is a lot of times referred to just as a stay-at-home mom. And a lot of people see this as a waste of a woman's potential and think it's a pity that a woman would want to sacrifice her goals in order just to change diapers. But yet being a mother is one of the most important roles on this planet Earth that you and I live in, because as we all know, motherhood is a lifetime task. And I don't know if you've ever had to as being a dad, but it's not an easy task at that. Because you need to realize that by the time a child is 18 years old, a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. One mother said that the joy of motherhood is when a woman experiences when all the children are finally in bed. And I know a lot of you young parents can probably relate to that a lot. But in fact, motherhood is a true calling in one's life. It's a privilege, and if handled right, it can be a real pleasure. But before I continue on with the message today, I'd like to make it clear that, you know, a lot of times Mother's Day isn't for everyone. It can be a difficult time for some. I mean, some people may not have had the best mother in the world. I understand that. But for some reason, they couldn't, wanted to have children. Or maybe they have had children and have perhaps lost them through death. And sadly, some mothers have lost their children, where others maybe carry on the wayward guilt of having wayward children in their life. And so I understand that Mother's Day can be a very difficult time as well. And as we understand this, it certainly helps as we pray, in spite of their troubles, that this would be a special day for them as well. Well, let's look at our text in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 2. It says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." And watch this. "That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." I wonder if the reason that it extends your life is, if you honor us, the parents won't kill you. Or if you honor us, or if you don't honor us, there's a real chance that something might happen to you. I don't know. But honor, and listen to this, it's a commandment to honor your parents, father and mother. Remember, one of the top 10 commandments, if you remember, is to honor your mother and honor your parents. And how you treat your parents, it really does matter to God. So much so that he said it would be well for you if you honor your parents. And you'll live long if you honor your parents. Indicating that if you don't, well, it may not go so well for you. And it'll shorten your life. It's a really remarkable thing that there are several stern warnings that children who mistreat their parents or children who dishonor by their parents by their lives. And by the way, the things and actions that they do. And the way they even treat their parents will suffer great consequences. And that's just not a threat or anything like that. That's just in the Bible. And the question you would have to ask is this, is would, as a parent, would you want to have the daughter that you would want to raise? Are you the kind of daughter that you'd want to raise? Are you the kind of son that you would want to raise? And so do you, as a child or a son or a daughter, honor your mother? And so what I'd like to do this morning is to look at some biblical principles on how to honor mothers. Number one is love your mother unconditionally. No matter what, the way you honor your mother is by loving her unconditionally. Love her when she's young, love her when she's old. I mean, just love her because mothers just have so much to give. And she keeps on giving and giving and giving to you and I. And she gives the best years of her life. Everything that she has, she gives to you. She would probably, and more than I know, lay her life down for you if need be. So love her when she has something to give you, and as well, love her when those times when she has nothing to give to you. But we are commanded to love them unconditionally and not just when we can get something out of them. Secondly is to hug her affectionately. There's a bumper sticker you see every now and then on some cars that says, "Have you hugged your kid today?" And I think it'd be kind of be funny to see one, especially put it on teenagers' cars when they're driving, that says, "Have you hugged your mom today?" Because, you know, it's amazing how many times that we can take her for granted that our mother knows that we love her. We just, a lot of times, assume that. But we're not only to love our mother unconditionally, but we're to hug her and kiss her affectionately because, you know what, they need that. They do. They need that. So tell her that you love her. And I understand that we live in a different time now and with the things going on and the safe distancing, and I understand that. But, you know, love her when you can, the best you know how, because she raised you. I know we live in a different time as well as when I did coming up, and we, you know, you understand there's some things that you do say to mom, and that you understand that there's some things that you don't say to mom. And if you said something to mom that wasn't right, then there were some grave consequences. Usually with me, it was a slap upside the head. Now, I don't know if this is just a German thing when they do that or what, but I got plenty of them. But you just don't get up and tell mother whatever, anything that's on your mind or how you feel about something or what she did, because if you did, or I know at least I did, it ended up with a slap upside the head. And, you know, you can make fun of that and you can belittle that, but, you know, what it did is it really taught me, when I look back at it, to respect my mother, and I never forgot those head slaps. But hug them affectionately. I know we're going through a tough time, like I said earlier, with the social distancing, but she needs your affection. So if you're not sick or if she's not sick and you feel safe to do so, well, then today or the next time that you feel safe to do so, hug her affectionately. They love that stuff. Number three is just to simply understand. Understand your mother. This is how you honor your mother, by taking the time and by understanding her sympathetically. You see, women go through a lot of changes in their life, and mothers go through a lot of changes as well. And they wear so many hats when they're a mother. They cook, they clean, they judge, they make peace, they're a referee, they're sounding boards, they're accountants. They're all kinds of things because they do so much. And we need to appreciate the great job the mothers do for us every single day of their life. And so we need to understand them sympathetically. We need to have something that is in our heart that is so accommodating to them sympathetically. And not just to treat them ugly after you've got everything that you want out of them. Because as they're getting older in life, we're to be extremely sympathetic to our mothers. So understanding sympathetically for our mothers is a way to honor them. And yes, this includes listening to all their ailments too. But that's hard, I know, at times. But understand them sympathetically. Because many times they don't have anybody else to tell it to. So you're a sounding board now, as she was for you when you were younger. Number four is to listen to her attentively. I mean, husbands want undivided attention. And I know kids, they definitely want undivided attention. Even times when something is wrong, they want their undivided attention from their mother. I love reading about the story in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 4. When there was trouble with one of the kids out in the field, and he was helping his father and servants, and the young boy starts complaining about his head. He says, "My head, my head." And they think it's perhaps maybe he had a sunstroke, is what some people believe. And the dad's working beside him, and the dad turns when this real massive problem comes up. And what does the dad say? He tells his servants, he says, "Take the boy to his mother." And I always thought that was funny when he just said that instead of trying to take care of it himself. He said, "Take the boy to his mother." So when there's a problem, who do we want to listen to us attentively? And that's mother. Because what you do in your own household, I mean, whenever you have a problem, you try to find your mom. You want to find mother and tell mother. Don't tell daddy. Daddy will just push it off. Somebody could be bleeding to death and he'll keep watching the basketball game and he'll say, "Put a Band-Aid on it. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay." So, you know, that's just dads. But moms are different. And in return, we're to honor our mother by listening to her attentively. Someone once said that when you're old enough to know the answers, nobody asks you any questions. The older people get, the wiser they become, and they know more than what we give credit to them for. So please listen to them. They know what they're talking about, and even if you don't agree with what they have to say to you, at least try to make them feel valuable. Make them feel that what they say is important. Because after all, when you were growing up, they listened to you attentively. They listened to you attentively from the time that you cried and all through your life when you would ask them about life's issues going on in their life, in your life, or what's going on, why is this happening. They listen to your greatest problems. They listen to your greatest challenges that you faced in growing up. And a lot of times we forget that because we're so busy in today's society that we don't take time to think about what all the things our mom has helped us with through the years. And so now, they're in a season where they need you to listen attentively. Number five is to help her cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. And that's just not only with money. That's giving your time. That's giving your attention. Mothers are the greatest helpers in the world. They do things that money couldn't pay people to do. They pick up stuff off the bathroom floor that no one else would even come near, and that's amazing. I know I work at a hospital, and I remember one fellow told me that worked there when I first started. He said, "Eric, the number one thing you got to remember is if you see something wet, let it sit." And, you know, that's we don't want to go near stuff like that, but moms are different. And because of that, don't act like she's a bother a lot of times. Don't act like that when she asks you for something that it's a real inconvenience for you to do it. But instead, help her cheerfully. Help her unconditionally. And hug her often and affectionately and understand her sympathetically. And yes, I know sometimes mothers get put out at times. It reminds me of the story of the mother who invited some people to dinner at the table. She turned to ask her 6-year-old daughter, when everybody was at the table seated and ready to eat, she said, "Honey, would you like to say the blessing?" And the little girl replies, she said, I just don't know what to say." And the mother tells her daughter, she said, "Well, honey, that's easy. Just tell them, just say what you hear mommy say." And so the little girl, she bows her head, and with real sincerity in her voice, she says, "Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people to dinner?" So, you know, mothers get put out too, but you need to understand there's always something or somebody mirroring you and watching you. And there's all kinds of mothers that have to deal with issues like that with their children that say the interesting things at the most inconvenient times. And because men are too awkward to handle that stuff. I dare to say what a father would do. But mothers, they try to do so much for everybody. They try so hard. And we need to help our mothers in return. And here's a big word, cheerfully. Not with a big sigh, and I know I'm guilty of this as well. Not with a big sigh, but cheerfully. Don't act like you're doing them some big favor by either giving them money or helping them financially. Because you have to remember, they took care of you all of your life. And this is how you honor your mother. By loving her and helping her cheerfully. And number 6 is help her gratefully. Little things mean a lot to mom. I mean, just call her sometimes and say, "Hey, what are you doing? How are you? What's going on with you? Are you going shopping? Do you want to go shopping with us? We're just going to go shopping. Just thought we'd check with you. Do you want to go with us? Or we have a ball game. Jimmy has a ball game to go to. Or Susie has a soccer game. You want to come watch? Or we've got this going on. We've got that going on." And just remember her gratefully. Just a call. Even if it's from the grandkids to the grandmother. I know a couple of months back, we took our grandkids over to visit my mom in her apartment. And they had a wonderful time of all the trinkets and knickknacks she had on her shelf and all the things, just looking around at someplace new. And my mom just loved that because this is the first time the grandkids came to her apartment to visit her. And so just little things like that mean a lot. Just a call to say you matter. Just a call to say you're important enough for me to reach out to you because I understand you've given it so much to me. Because she wants to feel like somebody appreciates her. That somebody loves her. And again, she gave you the best years of her life. And so a way to honor her is to gratefully remember her that way. And to give those phone calls to her. Or to give those invitations to her. Because you'll never forget, and you let her know gratefully, that you remember how well she taught you the things growing up. The things to say and the things not to say when you're around people. To save you from embarrassment. You remember how well she trained you and how much she loved you and how excellent that she cared for you. And so just by a simple call, just to say hi, or a simple friendly gesture, always something to gratefully remember our mother, is a good way to remember that we honor her. And it will mean the world to her. And finally, number 7 is we need to remind her just how much she is needed constantly. You see, it hurts a mom to feel that she's no longer needed. And I know this because I live with a mom, my wife. And she wants to feel that she's needed. In her children's lives. There's nothing more than what the enemy would love to say to a mom or to tell a mom as she moves into her golden years or maybe her husband or dad has passed away, or her husband has passed away, and she's alone now. But the enemy would love to whisper to her, "You're not necessary. Your life's over. Nobody has time for you anymore. You're just a hindrance. You're just an inconvenience to someone." And that's a lie. And we have to constantly remind our mothers how much they are needed constantly. And she can't work, maybe, but she's still needed. And she can pray. Mothers can pray. It thrills her even when you call her and ask her for a recipe. And it's never going to taste as good as when mom made it, because, you know, really she doesn't know the recipe in full. Because she's just used to picking stuff up and throwing a pinch here and a dab there. But it really thrills her enough that she would even think about asking her for one of her recipes. And yes, I know that sounds probably almost unimportant to some of you. But I'm telling you that the older a person gets, the more we need to show them, the more we need to remember and to honor them and to constantly let them know how valuable they are in our life and how much that we love them. And what I tell you what thrills a mother most is what we need to remember is that their children love and honor God. Now that's something that'll definitely give honor to your mom and will thrill their heart the most. One of the greatest things that you can honor your mother with is by giving your life to Jesus Christ. Nothing else really is more important. A lot of other things seem important and will make them happy, but to a godly mother, that will really touch your heart. When is a job for a praying mother over? Never. Well, maybe if one of them goes to heaven, either you or your mom, maybe it's over then. But mothers pray constantly. So be mindful that the job of praying for your children is a lifelong responsibility. And of course, no one can pray for your children like a mother can. Even as a preacher, mothers outpray. Mothers pray constantly for their children. My wife has to kick me sometimes and say, "Hey, have you prayed for our daughters?" Oh, yeah, sure. So mothers pray constantly. Fathers, you have to nudge a bit. There's nothing like the powers of a praying mother. I want to close with this story. It's a true story. It's a documented story, really. It's a historical story. And that's real. In 1820, there was a man named Peter Richley who had probably one of the strangest survival stories that we have on human record. And Peter Richley, he got on a ship in 1820 and to sail from England to Australia. And on the journey across the ocean, the ship encountered a problem and it began to sink and it went all the way under. And everyone perished except the man named Peter Richley. And while he was floating, another ship came along, a second ship, and they saw something floating in the water and they went over and sure enough, he was rescued. And so he was on the ship, and the next day that ship encountered a storm, and the second ship sank. And after that sank, there happened to be a third ship coming by, and Peter Richley was rescued by the third ship. But something happened along the way in the third ship, and this is historical record. You can check it out when I'm telling you. It's the third ship sunk. But then there came a fourth ship, and it found the man in the water. And, you know, this is my issue with the story here, is I'd kind of check out Peter Richley to see if he's doing something to sink those ships. But he wasn't. He was just one of those freak things. And the fourth ship bailed him out of the water and rescued him. And as they were on their journey to Australia, the fourth ship sinks. And then a fifth ship comes along and bails him out of the water. But yeah, you guessed it, the fifth ship sunk. And then finally, there's this sixth ship that comes along, which was called the City of Leeds. And that's the name of the ship, the City of Leeds, L-E-E-D-S. And so the crew, they pull him out of the water, they give him clothes to feed, or they give him clothes, and they feed him a warm meal. And he told the crew of this unbelievable story of him being rescued five times, well, six with this ship. And so he finally got over that trip, and they were about a few days out from harbor from Sydney, Australia, and the captain comes up to him and says, "Sir, would you do a favor for us?" And Richly said, he said, of course I will. He said, you saved my life. He said, ask me anything and I'll do it. And the captain, he continued and he said, you know, when we started this journey to Australia many weeks ago, there was an old mother, there was an old woman, and she won the hearts of the crew and she loved everybody and she loved every one of them and she learned every one of the crew members' names even and spoke with them often. And she had a ticket. She was going to Australia, but she became ill about a week ago. And she's so feverish, and she's sick, and she's dying, and she seems to just have went down to nothing with her weight, hasn't eaten anything, and she's burning up with the fever. And we think, you know, she's so frail, and I don't even know if she'll make it by the time we reach Sydney, Australia. And this whole time she's been sick and delirious, and this fever just seems to kind of make her go out of her mind. And she's been praying, when she comes out of it, she prays, oh God, God, I beg of you, let me see my son one more time. Let me please live at least to see my son, God, I beg of you. And the captain continued by saying, he said, she goes in and out of almost a comatose type state. But whenever she does come around, that's the prayer she prays. And our crew, they just love her so much, and she knows all of them by name, like I said, but, you know, she won't know who you are because we pulled you up out of the ocean. And so my favor is this. Would you pretend to be her son so she can leave this world in peace, perhaps, if she doesn't make it by the time we reach the harbor? And Richie said, well, of course I will. That's not a problem. And so the captain, he escorts Richly to the cabin, and the captain leads him over to the bed she's lying in, and he looks in the bed, and there's a silver-haired woman. She's frail, and she looks like she's burning up with fever, and it's obvious that she was at the point of death. But under her breath, he can hear her even saying, oh God, please let me see my son just one more time. And suddenly, as Peter Richly looks into the face of the woman, he kind of cocks his head a little bit, And then he starts to break down and he starts to cry, and he realizes that it was his mother, Sarah Richly, who he hadn't seen in 10 years. And she'd made a decision because she'd heard that he was going to Australia and she wanted to see her son one more time. And I believe that the reason that those five ships that sank in the ocean couldn't take him down, and I believe the reason that the storm couldn't destroy Peter Richly, is that we're never, ever to underestimate the power of a praying mother. It'll get you through any storm. It'll get you through any crisis. It'll get your family through stormy weather, what they're going through the power of a praying mother. And I know my family, when there's trouble in our home, or even my sister's home, or her children may be going through something, my mother will be praying for her children. My mother will be praying for her grandchildren. My mother will be praying for her great-grandchildren. Because we should never underestimate the power of a praying mother. Even when she can't work anymore. Even when she can't give anymore, maybe she can't even serve anymore, when she can't do the things anymore that you're used to her doing, she can pray. She can pray for you. There's power in the prayers of a godly mother. And if you know that I'm preaching the truth, you need to shout out a big amen. Because there's things that should have taken you out. There's things that should have taken me out, taken us down. And the only reason that we're still here today is that God answered the prayers of a praying mother. And you're here today because of that. And the greatest way you could honor your mother and the greatest way you could honor God is by giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. When Jesus hung on that cross, he honored his mother when he looked down at John and said, John, take care of my mother. He modeled that for us. We're to honor our mother. Even in Jesus' own pain, he would not forget to honor his mother. And you can honor your mother and her prayers by accepting God and her Savior Jesus Christ in your life. Or maybe perhaps you've wandered away from the fellowship of believers and maybe have become callous. Maybe you've become callous to the church or people in the church or the ways of God. But you can honor your mother and her prayers by returning to God and her Savior, Jesus Christ, through that. And in doing so let us consider how to more faithfully honor our mothers. How to be a better role model and to put into practice the sacrifices and the examples that our mothers have pointed us to. Because let's face it, when it comes to our mothers, we can never repay them for all the things that they've done in our lives. And we can never really even honor them enough. But by doing some of the things we talked about this morning, we can truly honor our mothers and make this Mother's Day memorable for them. Please join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for blessing us with our mothers. And I know sometimes we're not the most perfect children. And I know we challenge them a lot with our views and our actions. But I also know that you've given us to her so that she can love us. And I pray, Lord, that you continually bless our mothers with patience. I ask, Lord, for you to comfort them and to give our mothers happiness in the areas of their life where they need you the most. I pray that you continue to bless their relationships and ask for the joy and success and the things that they perhaps want to do and achieve in their life. I pray that you give us a heart that continues to love our mothers and to never forget our mothers and to open up our minds and our hearts to what's important to her. Let's not take for granted the sacrifices that she's made for us. Please, Father, bless us with patience in times that we don't remember and need to remember the openness to show our love for her and not just to take it for granted that she knows, because they love to hear it from our lips. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with our mothers. And I pray for continued blessings for families and all the things that we do for one another. And in your name we pray. And all the church said, Amen.